Since the beginning of time, mankind has been in search for happiness. Starting with Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan had convinced her that taking of the fruit would make her happy. It would make her like a god. And what about Korah? Korah wanted to be happy. He was not happy in the way that Moses and Aaron were running the show. He thought their way was wrong. He and his friends thought that their way was right. They wanted to be happy and do things their own way. Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of youth. Why was he looking for the fountain of youth? He wanted to be happy because he remembered his youth and he remembered all the wonderful things that possibly he did. He wanted to go back to being happy. The list goes on and on for those who have sought happiness. Marketers of today are exploiting our view of happiness with a barrage of advertisements. It doesn't take long as you thumb through a magazine to see how happy your wife is going to be if she starts using all temperature cheer. You can see her holding the bottle, smiling, and her whites are whiter, and her colors are brighter. Watch TV very long, and you will see that if you go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, and buy your wife some jewelry, she'll be happy. Just look at them. They're so happy. And what about the super duper uber ultra whitening toothpaste for your teeth? White teeth will make you happy. The list goes on and on of all these things that we are beat with that will make us happy. It is interesting to me how the secular world can drop little nuggets of wisdom in my lap that help me to understand God and how He works. What amazes me more about these people is they don't even believe in God, or they don't even know what God is asking of us. I've been coming to these worship services for as long as I've been alive, I think. I don't remember the early years. But as long as I've been alive, I've been coming to worship services. And I've never picked up on some of these morsels, bits of wisdom from the worship service or through my own personal study. The only way I can explain this is that it's God's plan that I learn these little nuggets of wisdom. And because I can't come up with them on my own, I believe the Spirit moves those of the secular world to help me to realize and understand, although they may not be aware that they're doing it. Allison and I use a marriage counselor from time to time to help us to learn how to communicate. If you haven't noticed, Alice is from Venus and I am from Mars. But the last time we were in his office, he talked to us about a key that would make us happy. And I did a little bit of research on this key that would make us happy. And in the late 90s and early 2000s, a new movement was taking hold in the profession of psychology. It was called positive psychiatry. The fathers of positive psychiatry asked the question, what makes people happy? For many years, the researchers have been asking young and old, rich and poor, Christian and non-Christians alike, what makes you happy? The study was going to be a complete flop because there was really no real indicator of what made people happy. And that is because they weren't seeking, or they were seeking for something that they didn't find. They weren't expecting what they were going to find. What the researchers learned was that there are three very important and not always easy to obtain keys to happiness. And these keys are gratitude, meaningful relationships, and a live in the present moment mentality. In order to prove their theory and prove that it was correct, the researchers gathered depressed people from all walks of life and asked some of them to just live their life normally. There would be nothing different or nothing changed with those people. But for some of the others, they were told to write down things or to think of three things that they were grateful for on a daily basis. Just three things. Think about them or write them down, the things that you're grateful for. And within just a few weeks' time, the patients that forced themselves to think of something that was grateful, something that they were thankful for, made unprecedented shifts in their mood. They went from being depressed to being happy. Well, I guess maybe Sigmund Freud had everything all wrong. These researchers found something new. But it wasn't new. It's been there forever. It's been in the Bible forever. How did I miss out on this wisdom? So quickly this morning, I want to investigate what God tells us about being happy. I want us to notice that God established these three keys to happiness in the Bible for us to learn and to grow thereby. Gratitude, as man defines it, the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and return kindness. When I think of gratitude, I can't think of anyone who defines gratitude to God for me more than David. From a young age, David had seen the wonderful mercies of God. David was a shepherd as a young boy, and God helped him shepherd sheep. David killed lions and bears, and even a giant named Goliath. And did I mention that David killed this giant with a little stone? Amazing. David was hunted by King Saul like a dog. There was little rest for David. There was no comforts of home. It was just God and David. And David was grateful for all that God had done for him. The big things, the little things, everything. And all we need to do is to read these inspiring words that David wrote in 2 Samuel 22 concerning the thankfulness he had for God, the gratitude that he had for God. He mentions God as being his rock. He mentions God as being his refuge. He mentions God as being his stronghold. David realized he couldn't do these things by himself. He needed somebody there to help him. And when he saw God helping him, it gave him things to be thankful for, things to have gratitude for. And that helped David. Gratitude. I think if we have a hard time seeing things that we're thankful for, I think that we should mention that in our prayers, that God would open our eyes, that we would see these wonderful mercies that God has given us, so that we can be thankful, so that we can have gratitude for the wonderful things that God has done for us. Secondly, I want to look into a meaningful relationship. Some words used to describe a meaningful relationship are honesty, communication, commitment, respect, patience, and thoughtfulness. Those are just some of the words that we would find describing a meaningful relationship. And one of the greatest Old Testament relationships that I can think of that I think we should look to when we are trying to build our own meaningful relationship is the relationship between David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18, it says that Jonathan and David became one in spirit. Jonathan was unselfish and gave all that he needed. He gave his tunic, he gave his sword, he gave everything that he had to David because David didn't have it. Jonathan had it, and he gave of it. He was willing to give. They became one in spirit. Jonathan shows his loyalty to David in 2 Samuel 23, 16 through 17 when it comes out that Saul's trying to kill David. What's Jonathan? I'll get the name right here in a minute. What's Jonathan doing? He's helping his buddy out. He's being loyal to him. His own father wants to kill his best friend. And his loyalty lies within David. It's a wonderful relationship that these two men had. In Acts 20, 36 through 38, we're reminded of another great relationship, a relationship between the Apostle Paul and the elders of Ephesus. They had been through a lot together in Ephesus, trying to build a church, trying to change people's attitudes. And it is written in this letter that they were grieved. They were grieved at the end of this time in Acts when Paul was getting ready to leave the Ephesian elders. They knew that they were never going to see him again. These deep relationships within the brotherhood are necessary. We gain strength from one another. We're able to provide for our friends, for our special relationships. And when we're able to do that, that makes us feel good that we're able to do that. We feel productive. We feel like we're a part of it. And that brings us happiness. The lastly, but not the leastly thing, is a living in the moment mentality. What I mean by this is stop living in the past. Stop living in the past. If you want to be depressed, live in the past. A lot of my depression comes from me living in the past. Whether we relive our mistakes or relive our glory days, the past is nowhere where we want to be. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear. Makes it very clear for me in the Philippian letter when he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." If anyone would have had a hard time forgetting his past, it would have been Paul. But it was necessary for Paul to forget his past. He had killed people. He had persecuted Jesus, the church, Christians. And he's turned his life around and now he's encouraging and teaching. What horrible torment that man could have had if he lived in the past. Could he have shown God's glory if he continued to live in the past? I say no. He showed God's amazing glory by allowing God to forgive him of his past mistakes and move on and live in the present moment and strain towards the future, which is that prize. I think a lot of times we forget, and maybe I'm saying we when I really should be saying me. I forget about the most wonderful thing that God has to offer me. And that's forgiveness. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance. God will wipe away every mistake and not think about it again. It's gone from his memory. And if you think you have nothing to be grateful for, right there's one of them. That God will forgive. And so many times, I want to go back to the past and grab the stupid things that I did in my youth. Grab the stupid things that I did yesterday. And beat myself over the head with it. In what way does that glorify God? It won't glorify God. Before I bring this lesson to a close, I want us to think about two other men and learn from them. I want us to learn from Judas and Peter. Both men denied God. And when we sin, we deny God. So they're no different than us. Because they both denied God. One lost hope and lived in the past. And he said, there's no way God can forgive me of this. I must be some special sort of sinner. There's no way God can forgive me of this. And the other remembered God's ability to forgive. And he learned from his past. And he lived for the future. Living a life of gratitude is necessary in order for us to fully appreciate the meaning of Philippians 4:8. Without gratitude, how can you think on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are righteous, things that are pure, admirable, or praiseworthy? The whole purpose of that verse is, if you think on those things, you're going to be happy. Things are going to be better for you. Above all, the biggest key to being happy is having a relationship with God. No other friend on earth can offer you an unending trust. No other friend on earth can offer you purpose or faith or patience, love, and especially eternal life. Without a relationship, a meaningful, deep relationship, one where you put God first in your life, no other relationship can offer you what God's relationship can offer you. This relationship with God, we'll have some tough times because we're human. But it's going to give us a happiness that is eternal. It's going to give us a happiness that is seen here on earth and seen in heaven as well. Without a relationship with God, you will never be happy. You'll always be searching for a new way to be happy. You'll start listening to the marketers. and looking for happiness in hairspray, four-wheelers, Corvettes, makeup, I don't know, whatever makes you happy. So what are you waiting for? The invitation is open. God has called us all to be with Him. The question is, are you going to submit to Him and accept the life that He's willing to give you? Or do you want to be like Korah, where you think, I know what it takes to make me happy. God has no clue. The choice is yours as we stand and sing the invitation song.